I do dog walking on the side, and one day I got this new dog. First day out walking, it lunged at my face, practically tore off my nose. After it was all over with the pain, I couldn't look in the mirror. I decided to call the advocates. They walked me through every step, and I never saw a single bill. Got me a settlement that covered everything.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. With us, you can focus on healing from a dog bite, and we'll handle everything else.
This idea of having the life that you want, building the life that you want, is called life crafting. And I get so geeky about that name because I'm like, life crafting, that like feels a little like artsy, but it feels a little like, I don't know, like granola, but it feels a little like, I get it. Like I get the idea, but then it also like leaves space for me to question the idea of like, what is life crafting? Welcome, welcome friends. You are here with me, Scotty, owner and founder of Slow Living Solutions, and this is the first episode of many of the Priority Report, a whole new podcast that is all about helping you learn more on tools and tricks and ways in which you can better align your life to the things that matter the most to you, i.e. your priorities. So, by way of our first episode, I thought I would start off by just acknowledging, if only for myself, that this is, that first times for everything are hard. And that comes up a lot in the work that I do with my clients. So I feel like it's super important for me to acknowledge that I eat, sleep, and breathe, practice what I preach, and here I am doing it for you right here. I never ever intended to be a business owner. I never ever intended to go into the coaching mentorship industry. And I never ever meant to start a podcast, but here I find myself. And it's a great place to be, and I'm so excited for it, and I'm excited for the work that I am doing with all of my clients, and even my own journey that I have been on with my coaches and my mentors all this time. So it's really hard to do this. I'm so nervous. It's going to be super cringy, and hopefully you can bear with me in all of my moments of vulnerability. But I think it's important to say that, like, it's important to do hard things because, like, it's an exercise in self-development, in personal development. And I very much value that, as a way of living and operating in this world. I tend to take the approach that, like, we're kind of here to play. Like, we only get so much time and we don't know how much time that is. And so it's really important to be thinking about what you want to do with your time. And I found myself getting into this line of work because the things that I had been doing were disinteresting and did not lead to the happiness that I thought they would. And I had spent so many years just shoulding and thinking like, oh, I'm supposed to be, and this is what life is supposed to look like. And when it didn't ladder up the way that I thought that it would, then I was left just feeling a lot of disgruntlement, disappointment, personal shame. And when I finally decided that I wanted to pull the trigger and redesign my life to be what I had wanted it to be, it turns out that the things that I wanted led me to doing life a whole lot differently. And treating it like play means like, hey, I'm doing this for now. And if I decide later on that I want to do something different, not only can I do it, but like I've built up the skills and the resilience and the tenacity that like I can take a sharp left again and it'll be fine. It'll be just fine. So I hope that you can explore that idea with me along the way as I get my bearings as a podcaster now. Like I've said, I have so much awesome information to share with you. So you will just get to hear my voice as I start to plant some seeds along the way on what it is that we're going to make this podcast about. So it will just be me for the first several episodes, but I do intend to bring on and expand our guests and audiences as I grow and as the podcast grows itself. So let's talk a little bit about, like, what do I do? Like, what is this thing that, like, how do I approach priorities in a way that's different than anybody else does? Like, why me? That's a very valid question if that's what you're asking yourself. So I started off in the change management and in the project management worlds in corporate America. And what I found along the way was that my pride and joy and passion was really working with individuals who were struggling with whatever the change was that the organization had been imposing upon them. So I had my own very traumatic experiences going through different reorgs and layoffs and having to start over and the unknowns and all the things. And the further along I got in my career, the more that I was seeing how other people were struggling in their own rights as they came across these same circumstances. And so it became really interesting to me to be able to help them figure out where their talent lies, what they enjoy the most, how could they feel like they were making a contribution to the organization while still maintaining a life outside of work, and having a healthy balance of identity from that perspective. So, but organizations aren't really like keen on that as a thing, because like when their workers are just focused on working for them, like anything outside of work and that lovely word productivity, which leads to profitability, is really all that a business cares about. And we can get into the philosophical, like, connotations of that, but I think, like, I prefer to just leave it as, like, a spade's a spade. A business is supposed to act like a business. A business is supposed to make money, and that's all that a business is supposed to do. So, it doesn't have a heart and soul. It's not a human being. It's not going to give back to you the same way that you give to it. And if you can start to disassociate the relationship that the company itself has with the people that perhaps we identify as the living, breathing component that makes up the organization, suddenly it's less, I find it to be at least, less emotionally taxing when I go, yep, this is what the business's prerogative is. End of story. I don't need to be mad at another human being about it. I don't need to be mad at myself. I don't need to give to it more than what it is. It just, like, a business is a business. The end. And then we can choose how we want to cultivate the relationships that we develop that are the people that make up the organization. As well as the relationship that we want to have with ourselves and outside of the organization. And so creating boundaries, that's a big buzzword right now, is boundaries. Creating boundaries between what our expectations are of a company and what our expectations are of people, I think helps to bring us back to what are your personal priorities, because they are not going to be that of a company unto itself. You're not a business. You are a human. And when you know what your priorities are, then you can start to put into perspective and context, where do I want to invest in a company where it's giving back to my priorities? And where do I want to go and invest myself elsewhere? So, long way of saying that this concept of work-life balance that everybody talks about that feels very at least to me, feels very like ethereal, nebulous, and kind of has taken on this very cliche tone that's hard to take seriously. I think if we were to really break that down and talk about what that is at a tactical level, because it's so much easier to talk about it than it is to do the thing, really comes down to thinking about, where do you want to spend your time? What do you want to spend it on? We all have to pay our bills, but like, where do you want to invest your time in people, in community, in family, in your professional career? How do you do that in a way where it continuously gives back to you? So, that being said, Slow Living Solutions came to life because I could not get what I wanted to out of a corporate environment. I could not work with individuals in a meaningful way that helped them to put themselves and their jobs into perspective in the greater corporate and or other business type of environment without business interference, because their priorities were different than my priorities and likely are different than my clients' priorities. So in coming into private practice with Slow Living Solutions, that's what I was able to begin to nurture, cultivate, and build out programming around for the people that come to me. So my clients have a variety of different needs, but many of them come from a need to better define what it is that they really and truly want out of life, for whether that is that they say they have a vision for what they want their future to be, and now they need help figuring out what are the steps to take to get to that end, that vision that they have. Like, how do they manifest that into reality? Some people don't have that vision and they're like, I could do this, and I could do this, and I could do this, and I could do this. And then it becomes this analysis paralysis and they struggle with like, how do I test the waters, narrow down and hone in on what's resonating and what's not for me. So we work on that together. Other people are like, they know their purpose and they are like, I am in the zone. This is my pride, my joy, my passion. I'm in love with what it is that I do to the extent that it is breaking me. So people, especially people who work in very, what I like to call altruistic career paths. So your teachers, your firefighters, your first responders at large, your nurses, your social workers. If you have a people, and particularly a job where people that are at some way disadvantaged or underprivileged, and you are helping them, it's very easy to lose a sense of forward movement because the demand is so high and so great and so can be so desperate at times that it becomes all-consuming. So when I work with those people, it's how can we work together to reset our expectations around what success looks like so that they are able to better see how they are moving the needle forward, even if the outcomes that they want to reach in the long term, or the things that they feel like are the overwhelming greatness that is the solution that needs to happen or the problem that needs to be solved, that we can put it into context and see how they're a little, that 1% that they do every day makes a difference when those 1% add up. All right. So I work with people like that. I also work with people who are struggling with the stress and the anxiety and the uncertainty and the pressures and so like social relationship issues that come from being in high stress jobs, high stress organizations. So working to figure out with each one of them, what are their trigger points? Why are those things coming up for them? Be it their insecurities, be it that they have people-pleasing tendencies, be it that they are the change agent that rubs on the system and makes the system kind of itchy and uncomfortable. I happen to be one of those people. Have been for years. Finally got to my place of admitting. I love you guys. You're out there. You know who you are. We work together to figure out, like, how do you find that balance? Like, what are the strategies? What are the tools? What are the things that you can do to be taking care of yourself first and foremost, so that when you are in that high stress environment, you are not so caught up in reaction that you cannot respond, or that your response is a reaction and it's a negative reaction. Because we can bring about our own demise that way. And it's not a great place to live. Like, we don't want to live in this sense of angst all the time. It's one of the reasons why a lot of us are struggling with keeping up with all of the news and information and things that are happening in the world, because we're trying to juggle so much all the time, and it gets super overwhelming, and we can only handle what we can handle in any given day. And so the worry and the angst can leave us paralyzed and fearful. And that does no one, especially not ourselves, any good. So there are, and we'll talk about them in some future episodes, there are multiple use cases for who my clients are, why you might come to me if you're in any way interested, or like trying to figure out, like, I don't know, is it right for me? Is it not right for me? Like, this sounds really good, but I don't know if I even need this. Like, reach out, DM me, send me, like, put a note in the comments, like, share, follow, whatever it is that you want to do. Like, by all means, send me an email. I'm happy to have an intro conversation with you. I would love to chat through and figure out what it is that you have going on and what does that look like for an engagement with me. That's always a possibility for us to do. So one more thing for us to chat about. There's a term for what all of this is. It's actually a line of study that comes out of positive psychology, and this idea of having the life that you want, building the life that you want, is called life crafting. And I get so geeky about that name because I'm like, life crafting, that like feels a little like artsy, but it feels a little like, I don't know, like granola, but it feels a little like, I get it. Like, I get the idea, but then it also like leaves space for me to question the idea of like, what is life crafting? So on a very like technical term, if you will, quote unquote, life crafting is the practice of making very intentional decisions about how you want to live your life. So back to where we kind of started at the beginning of this episode. As human beings who are very socially conditioned, we end up, by the time we hit adulthood, with a lot of, oh, I should do this, or someone says that this is what I should do, or I'm supposed to, or what if I disappoint them, or what if this, or I need to make money because this, and I need this title because of that, and I need to have a fancy house to take care of my family, and da 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 da. And all of a sudden we're caught up in the, like, I gotta check the boxes, I've gotta hit the milestones, I need the people to applaud for me, I need to feel validated for my existence. Literally, we all get there. And that is an exhausting hamster wheel to run on. But it's a very real one. And I'm here to tell all y'all that, like, I've lived it, you're living it, and everybody around you is living it. So when you're watching your social media and people seem like they are living their best life, I'm going to question that. I think you get some pockets of some really best life moments, but I don't think that that is the whole picture. So know that life crafting is something that anyone and everyone, including yourself, can benefit from, is just the ability to live more intentionally. Social conditioning takes us off of our train tracks. So, or we may not have even known what our train tracks were. Like, the idea being that, like, we're marching in a direction that is tried and true and authentic to who we are, and then everything under the sun is coming in left and right, up and down, all the different directions to derail us and make us think that, oh, I'm not worthy, that I'm not deserving, that I need to be focused on practical matters, that I need to, that all the things need to be somehow arranged differently in our life to match some sort of like nebulous concept of what success means to likely those who you've grown up around, more so than anybody else, which is not just family, that's friends, that's social circles, that's communities, that's schools, that's work, that's all the places. And so when we're spending all of this time being influenced by all these things around us, we have a tendency to default to what sounds best or who's made the most logical, rational, and or just plain like sexy argument for what it is that we need to be spending our time on. And not trusting our own intuition, not trusting ourselves to know best, that like, oh, somebody has some sort of information, some know-how that I don't have, and they're telling me this thing, and now I need to go and follow that path, because if I don't do that, then, like, whatever I'm doing now just isn't, it's not gonna work, or it's not gonna turn out right. I'll talk in some later podcasts around my own experience with that, starting off as a studio artist and having gone to art school, and all of the stigmas around what it means to be an artist in a full-time capacity and how that lifestyle did not align to other people's expectations in my life and led me to leave that path for myself. It's all worked out in the long run. Like, I still feel like I use much of my vocationary training in the work that I do today, but it has been a winded, twisted road to really hone in on what that meant for me. So needless to say, I will indulge you with more clear-cut examples of that go forward. But for today, intentionality is like my favorite all-time word, because it is honing in on the idea that when you do something with intention, that you are making a choice, and you are making a choice that is rooted in your personal values. And your values are as authentic to you as everything else is authentic to you. So yours aren't going to look like everybody else's. And it's really important as you start investigating on what would your core values be if you were to sit and write those down. It's a worthwhile exercise for you. What would that transpire into? What would those words be? How would you describe what your core value is? And how would you describe how that core value is demonstrated in behaviors to other people? When we start making choices that are aligned to our core values and who we authentically are, we live differently. So when you are making intentional choices, that leads to intentional behaviors that leads us down a path of authenticity in a whole different way than we've ever been operating. And it's not always comfortable, but it is so very much worth it. We call that alignment. And the thing about being aligned, the thing about intentionality, is that it's the root of how we develop self-confidence. You have to make choices that you want to stand by and that you feel good about and that you have logical reasoning that is true to who you are if you want to build a sense of self-confidence. And the doing of that is what gets us to what's called self-efficacy. So we learn to know what our core values are. We align those to our choices to become intentional in both our thoughts, our words, our behaviors, the decisions that we make. And as we begin to do that, then that practice is a sense of, we develop a sense of confidence. We also develop agency because we've now aligned our beliefs to our actions. That's a skill. Agency, building agency, your capability of doing something is honed like a skill. So you get to learn agency. And as you learn agency, you develop self-efficacy, which is your belief in your ability to do the things that you didn't think you were capable of doing. And that will change your whole life. It changed my whole life. The idea that I could have whatever I wanted is fully and completely built on the idea that I will take steps each and every day, and I think very deeply and thoughtfully about the choices that I make and how I conduct myself and what I'm doing and where my time is being spent, i.e. what my priorities are to get me to the outcomes that I am looking for. And that is what I teach you. Because it is hard work. Because it helps to have a sounding board. Because the thing that I heard, whether it's in my personal life or in the corporate world, that people are always just dying to have is some type of mentorship. We want people to take us under their wing who have walked the walk, who do align to our values, who do have who are three steps ahead. And that's why I've been blessed enough to have mentors, coaches, people in my life that have helped me to see and develop the talents and the skills that I have to, who've been supportive in me starting this business and understanding the need in the marketplace. I have my beautiful, beautiful roster of clients that I am so proud of that have started this with me a year and a half ago. And I'm so grateful for them because they believed in me. And the better that I can be for them, the better results that they get. So, it's a reciprocal relationship that is just, I'm so excited to now be at a place to expand and broaden my horizons and meet even more of you, and help even more people to better live the life that they want. So that's what we're here to do. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I know it's a little crazy, a little all over the place, but like that is the, that's just part of the learning process and part of it being, as Brené Brown puts it, love Brené Brown, the fucking first time. Because first times are hard, and here I am putting myself out there, and hoping that something here has resonated for you. So like I said earlier, please feel free to like, share, follow, subscribe, comment, send me a DM, reach out to me on any number of the social platforms. You can always find me at Slow Living Solutions. My name is Scotty, and I really look forward to chatting with you more in the next episode.